The past, the pure devotee, eaters of the transcendental activities of the law of incarnations for the performance of various pastimes, his lash tears on every conscious body, tears fall from his eyes, and in his spiritual realization his voice falters. Sometimes he very openly dances, sometimes he sings loudly, and sometimes he cries. Thus, he expresses his transcendental jubilation. Third, the Lord's activities are uncommon. For example, when he appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he performed uncommon activities like bridging the ocean. Similarly, when Lord Krishna appeared, he raised the Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years of age. These are uncommon activities. Fools and rascals who are not in the transcendental position consider these uncommon activities of the Lord to be mythological. But when the pure devotee, the liberated person, hears about these uncommon activities of the Lord, he immediately becomes ecstatic and exhibits the symptoms of chanting, dancing, and crying very loudly and jubilantly. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Namah Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimadya Bhakti Vilanta Swami Nitti Namide Namaste Naraswati Devam Gaulavani Srachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatya Vishatayane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karana Shri Vashati Gauravanta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Before starting, I want to say something in brackets, since all I have to say is not ordinary done, but in this lecture on conscious perception, the speaker, who is the perceiver, has to tell his perception. I feel very much qualified because it's the first time in this wonderful temple, the Prabhupada's presence is so much felt. And second of all, I don't speak the correct language. And third of all, I'm sitting before superiors in realization who are sannyasis. And therefore, I want to thank you for the blessings. We are entering into a very interesting phase of the Srimad Bhagavatam. After analyzing and those subjects which come before extending love of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj is starting to describe how the realizations of a pure devotee to his class base. Now in the beginning of this verse, Srila Prabhupada makes something very interesting. He's saying something which is not actually in the Sanskrit. He says, one who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses, and thus he is a liberated person. The critics will object to this, ideologists and so on and so forth, but this is done in Vaishnava deities. Here we find the most powerful acharya of the days presenting the following verses, which are very difficult to understand for an ordinary person, in a way we can understand. He points out that the realizations of a devotee are not within the realm of sentimentality. He says, one who is situated in devotional service is certainly the controller of his senses, and thus he is a liberated person. He is not a conditioned soul. In the verse before, Prahlad Maharaj was expressing what those conditions are. Maybe lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. No. What he will describe now is not reached by the perceptions of material senses. In the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kadama Muni foretells the advanced state of his grandson, Prahlad Maharaj. He says that Prahlad Maharaj is on the stage of Anubhava. There are three stages in devotional life. Stai Bhava, I mean the perfection of devotional life. Stai Bhava means to continually be perfect in love of Godhead. That's the beginning. Then comes Anubhava, love which is performed in a particular transcendental relationship. And then comes Mahabhava, which is only possible for the direct pleasure potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shrimati Radharani. Prahlad Maharaj is on the Anubhava stage. We hear that Prahlad Maharaj represents the process of meditating or remembering. And this is explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to this wonderful verse. It is said, the devotee, the liberated person, hears about these uncommon activities of the Lord, and he immediately becomes ecstatic and exhibits the symptoms of chanting, dancing, and crying very loudly, jubilantly. Prahlad Maharaj constantly was remembering the uncommon, aturyan is the word, uncommon spiritual activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he exhibited all the symptoms of one steep and extended love. Sometimes, although this is not commonly done, he would lie down in the temple and cry without end. So, we want to explain this lecture, the process of transcendental perception. Dharada Maharaj, in his yesterday's class, was giving us the different stages, how to approach from the stage of Shraddha to this higher advanced stage, this of devotional service. So, please remember this in the following discussion of this verse. In order to really dive into the subject better, we will consider three factors. We will consider the object of knowledge, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the knower, the living entity, and the process of knowledge, which we will explain as bhakti. Because the reason is that what we are describing is something not of this world. It is completely transcendental, so we have to explain the factors involved so that we understand how it is transcendental and that we can behave in the correct way to this. Now, because this has to be said, to explain love of Godhead to someone who has not experienced the transcendental realm is something very, very difficult. There was once a man who wanted to know the taste of jackfruit, and he asked his friend. The friend said, "Can I explain it to you? Come on, give some indication, some explanation." So the man who was pressed so hard finally consented and said, "Well, jackfruit tastes something like sugar cane juice poured in the bath of a wizard." Beard, through the beard of a wizard. So it's a very difficult to understand. This is important to understand. So we now will proceed to explain the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are preachers are often asked, have you seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the preacher sometimes remembers the answer of Prabhupada and says, yes, every morning on the altar. Or one time, we were giving a class in a yoga society, and we had a picture, we always have a Krishna picture behind us. So the question was, how does Krishna look like? So we pointed this way Krishna looks like. So everyone thought I was pointing at the yoga teacher. Who was sitting beside me to make sure that I don't say anything extraordinary. They all went, what? This is Krishna. But they were not satisfied because the form of the Lord categorically doesn't look different from the forms in this world. René Descartes has described form as something which exists in three-dimensional space. There is find the English word. Their length, their depth, and their height. For instance, my form is a certain this dimension, it has a certain that dimension, it has a certain that dimension. So you can, by knowing these numbers, you can reproduce any form in a system of coordinates who have these three components. This form, obviously, is limited by these three dimensions. One limitation is this form cannot be somewhere else. It is just existing, at least at this moment, in this space, it is not somewhere else. Let us consider a little bit on the nature of how dimensions limited things. Let us conceive of an object which exists in two-dimensional space, a huge elephant which we might draw on the floor of the temple. So we might tell this draw an elephant. It's a hypothetical example, obviously. Please get up and please move over not a book, over a pedanga. That's a good example. Over something. He wouldn't be able to perform this function because in order to step over something, he needs to have the dimension height. He has to move his foot. First of all, he has to get up. And move around. So he's limited by two dimensions. In the same way, our form is obviously limited by three dimensions. Scientists thought of different dimensions. Albert Einstein saw the fourth dimension is a time dimension. We are controlled by the time dimension. This doesn't have to be said. Now, Krishna, however, in Krishna's transcendental form, although he appears visible to our eyes, which can perceive only three dimensions, is transcendental to limitations with limited form. When he appeared before here in Braj, one day his friends complained to Mother Yashoda, your son has eaten clay. So Mother Yashoda said, please open your mouth. I want to see. So when Krishna opened his mouth, Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe and herself within the mouth. Now please let us consider for a moment. Krishna had appeared within the universe. However, he saw the universe inside of him. To give an example, this
the mention box is obviously within the room. Now, the definition, this room cannot exist within the donation box.
I mean, this would be quite extra.
No one thinks of this. In Krishna can revert the laws of nature, and because he is in the transcendental realm, he exists in the spiritual dimension, and he actually does this. It shows up in his Lila. In Brahma Samhita, we hear this. We have a nice explanation. It comes in the verse Eko Pyasamra Chaitanya Garanta Kodim. And it is translated, he is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no difference between the potency and the possessor thereof. All the universe exists, plural, all the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe. So Vodaswami was explaining this in one lecture very nicely. I want to borrow this example from him. From Mahavishnu, the universes are coming. Now consider you were a mystic yogi who was floating in ethereal space, and he would choose to enter one planet within the universe, which has come out of the force of the Mahavishnu. You would consider of entering one universe which has come out of the force of Mahavishnu, Krishna. Then you would consider to enter a planet, and then you would consider to enter an area called our world. Then you would consider to enter a continent, India. Then you would consider to enter at least, I don't need to draw this out so long, you would enter here in this room. And then you would think, oh, let me enter into the microphone. Then you would consider of entering into the molecules, and then the atoms, and then the particles, the smaller particles, and then, because you are Bhakti Yogi, what would you see? You would see the same Mahavishnu from whom this universe came forth. Now this is obviously spiritual. It is not mundane. This is one example of what we mean when this Krishna exists in the spiritual dimension. Let's move on to the next subject, which is the living entity. We, in our conditioned state, are limited to the information which comes through our senses. We are limited in four ways, which we all know. We find ourselves limited by the field of activities in which we are allowed to act. We are not allowed to go further. This field is fascinatingly described in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It speaks of the analysis of Shankya, and it speaks of one element which is very important for the stream of philosophical thought. It says the living entity moves within driti. Driti means his own convictions. In other words, after the living entity sees the matter around him, he gains a certain value and a Vedanshaw, so to say, this which he measures the reality around him. This Vedanshaw is dependent on his sense perception. Chanakya Pandita sarcastically remarked about this fact. The lusty man who has possessed this lusty vision will see a whole world full of women who are just waiting to fulfill his lusty ambitions. The dog sees the same beautiful woman as a wandering piece of flesh. Quite delicate. The ascetic when he perceives the woman is not interested. So there have been experiments on this in the realm of modern science. To tell you very shortly, they have measured what a frog can perceive, and they found out that he is capable of perceiving three things: light and darkness, movement, sudden movement, and third of all, the vague idea of form. What this means is, for him, there is no difference between a stork and a professor. He only has a vague idea of what is around the form. For Prabhupada, possibly if he would enter the exalted assembly of Vaishnavas, he would see huge flies. That's all. So he is limited by his field of experiences, which is dependent on his senses. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of Dr. Frog, who makes conclusions from his limited purview. He has performed an interesting drama which as only as Dharma Krishna Goswami saw with sympathy, so I'm not shy to mention this. It is the drama of the frog, how he tries to understand the dimensions of the universe, and our devotees made it through technical device that whenever he gets, is it two times as big as my mouth, then Dr. Frog blew up a balloon under his shirt, and that he became so big, it's possible it's a huge balloon. And when he said 100 times as big, he horribly exploded. So this is an example of Srila Prabhupada on the philosophical content. Atmano manyate jagat. Atma, I, mana, think, manyate, plural jagat. As I think, the same way I do think, the whole jagat, the universe, thinks, as its conditioning mentality. Now, this discussion, the second part of the discussion, talking of the conditionings of the living entity, has raised an interesting question in philosophy. What then is reality? Balan Maharaj explains materialistic conception of reality in verse 27. He says, through complete intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence. Like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers, material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. It is not that the material reality is, or material world is false in itself, but it is temporary and it has a quality of being anatta, not of value. And it is unwanted actually. So when the Vaishnava is asked to define reality, he will go from the limited and received perceptions of the senses to an understanding of Krishna. He would say, since this world is emanating from Krishna, and Krishna is immanent within this world, as a Paramatma, and Krishna is the mainstay of this world, reality is Krishna's reality. And through Krishna consciousness, being the consciousness of Krishna and his transcendental nature and his workings within the material world, we are able to perceive material reality and also spiritual reality. Now, this process of acquiring and this is not in the frame, he has a process of acquiring knowledge which brings him to the states which are described in the verses which we will hear in the next days. This process of acquiring knowledge is called avaroha panta. It means the descending path. It is in stark contrast to the aroha panta, which is the ascending path. With our demonstration on the conditioning of the three dimensions and of the conditioning of the living entity, we wanted to show that the ascending path of aroha panta is worthless when it comes to perceive material reality, because we are conditioned by all the relativity which comes in our body, and of course worthless when it comes to perceiving transcendental reality. And on the basis of this, we want to explain the process of devotional service, which is based on bhakti. In bhakti, or in the process of devotional service, the devotee tries to do his level best, working within his limitations on the path of sadhana, to create favorable circumstances for the Lord to reveal himself. To give an example of this, if electricity is around, when the circumstances are favorable, that means when there are high clouds, high density, and the earth is minus, then under these circumstances, the electricity becomes visible. In the same way, the good Lord, becomes visible to the devotee if he finds the devotee ready, if he finds the devotee susceptible, if he finds the devotee purified and humble. Then the flesh, to speak of the old language, so we find that this way of perceiving is a perception which is real in the true sense of the verse. In the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 11th canto of Bhagavad, we find the verse Bhakti Parishanu Bhavu Viraktya Anyatra Chaisha Trika Eka Kala. Prabhatyamanasya yathashnata syu tushti pushti chut apayo nukhasam. Devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the same way as pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. In other words, a person who eats, you do not have to tell him, oh, now you're feeling some nourishment, oh, now you're feeling some fulfillment, oh, now you're feeling some the desire to eat more. No, he makes this empirical realization himself. So, in this verse, it is quite interesting. Bhakti or devotion is parallel to nourishment. The devotee is nourished. It is compared with satisfaction. Parishan bhavo, or direct experience of the Lord, is nourishment. As we were discussing in our Srimad Bhagavatam lessons, the devotee is nourished by transcendental experience. And viraktya and vyatraja, that means detachment from all other things, compared with getting fulfilled. You are so full, in other words, you do not desire to eat anymore. So now the critical listener might ask himself, but is this to be experienced even by someone who is on a neophyte stage? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, positively, yes. Someone who is even on a neophyte stage in the sadhana practice, he also will make perception of this wonderful thing. He will get some devotion, he will get some direct experience, and he will have enough of this world. We all are living examples of this fact. We would not be here if we didn't experience something in Krishna consciousness, nor did we stay here. The only duty we have now on our intermediate platform of devotional service is to increase the bhakti and the experience of the Lord and the vairagya. Now this is very nicely done. This is only a side point. I should make a side point now because we are still in the philosophy. So, what we want to express is that Krishna consciousness is something everyone should embark on with the fullest commitment, because he will make a realistic experience of a spiritual life, which is, this he has to admit, different from what is in material life. Now, the process of Krishna consciousness has been described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Krishna consciousness is actually already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Satya Prabhu Noi Shravanari Sudarshanhe Karaye Udhoi. Udhoi means it rises. The eternal perfection of Krishna consciousness is locked within everyone's heart by Shravanam and Kirtanam, by hearing about the Lord and by praising Him, chanting Him, it comes to pass. The example which we have often heard is that Krishna consciousness is in beach, is the example of a beach, the sea. In the sea, we find the whole tree already existing. It is only a matter of coming out. Now in our heart, there is this, this love for Him, this bhava is already there. And this is described in a very nice analogy in the Madhya Lila 19th chapter. And I will come to an end by talking about this. The gradual development of love may be compared to different states of sugar. First there is the seed of the sugar cane, then sugar cane, and then the juice. It's extracted from the cane. When this juice is boiled, it forms liquid molasses, then the solid molasses, then sugar candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. So, Krishna consciousness is within each one of us in the seed form. Now we might be unsuspecting, oh, I dance in the kirtan and ecstasy that is inconceivable, I'm getting older and older. I experiencing tears of love of God and could be right when my child dies. We might feel some midlife crisis, some doubting within our heart. But just like the sweet sugar is there in the sea of the sugar cane, Krishna consciousness, love God is within each one of us. Rest assured. When you go over the field of Raj around February, you will see the sugar cane and you will see how it is boiled. and then you can get this molasses from it, and so on and so forth. It's the same way we can get, provided we stick to the process of Krishna consciousness, from this unsuspecting seed which reveals in our heart, at the highest stages of sweetness and love of God. We have to apply the process. Now, an example of how something which is already there becomes uncovered, I want to end here, is what experienced by me when in 3 years ago, I was I was operated, and they made a mistake, like always, and I had a glimpse into the nature of death. So when we woke up in the emergency ward, and that time we always had to inject the poisonous substances to keep the heart going. So we were watching in intense pain something which will remain engraved in our consciousness. Next to me was someone who has lost his mind in an accident. He was there already for a few months, which it was something like 6 months. So this person didn't know who he was. He was like a child. I watched how they showed him how to eat, how they showed him how to read, and I saw something very interesting. They made a point to always bring before this person. He looked like a man of wealth, taste, and culture. They always were bringing friends to him. They showed him pictures. They showed him TV. And they said, this is what you like to eat in very much, and they brought him all these substances and spoon-fed his material identity back to him. In the same way, the conditioned soul is suffering under an acute amnesis. Is that in English? Amnesia. And the spiritual master brings things before us. Things of the spiritual world, things which we know, which we have forgotten only, and by coming in contact with these things, we will develop our whole spiritual perception. So, Srila Prabhupada is the ambassador of the spiritual world, and he has given us the processes of sadhana bhakti. These processes are our jewels. They are our things to hold on in this world. They are our guiding lights in the darkness of conditioned illusion. They are the only thing we have. And in this state of Krishna consciousness, we have to allow ourselves to be spoon-fed by the spiritual reality, although we may not understand the holy name, we may not understand all parts of the philosophy, we may not understand that we must commit ourselves to a sincere practice of Bhakti Yoga. Coming to the holy Dharma means, amongst many different things, to relay one's sincerity and commitment to what Srila Prabhupada has given us. The word sincerity has a very interesting etymological cause. Was founded in the days of yore in the Roman Empire, when all of a sudden the affluent merchants and Kshatriyas started to build their marble palaces. Then the marble industry began to flourish like anything, and cheating also. And afterwards they sold solid marble blocks, which was broken marble, but covered with bags. So they sold here our most wonderful marble. This is, please take it and make your money. So when this palace was standing in the sun, the bags were really off, and you could actually see what was the little marble. And from this day, the bird seen Sarah came. Seen means this owl, and Sarah means bags. So, the word sincerity, which is there in the vocabulary of all us, means without facts, without show, without externals. Now we will all come into the sun where we will be tested. And while in the Holy Dawn, we should be well aware to make this real commitment, because we will all leave the Holy Dawn and we will have to be Krishna conscious in our circumstances of preaching. And therefore, we should here work on these wonderful spiritual practices meant for reawakening the conditions of.
Oh my God.